Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever. That's vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever to get started today.
Well, first of all, I mean, people, please do an inspection on your house or have somebody that walks it that knows.
Best ever listeners, before we get into today's episode, I want to mention Trevor McGregor. Trevor is a real estate results coach. I've been paying him and working with him for years now. He actually is responsible for giving me the idea to do a podcast. So it's not only about transactions that he gives advice on, how to find more deals, how to make more money, but also how to build a holistic plan around your real estate entrepreneurship endeavors. That's what I love about working with Trevor, that and being held accountable for what I say I'm going to do and actually making sure that I follow through and do it. I feel like I'm a pretty results-oriented, accountable kind of person, but it's always nice to have someone who's there guiding you along the way and giving you strategy as well as psychology tips for how to deal with, you know, the things that come up as a real estate entrepreneur. Trevor has made a wonderful offer for the best ever listeners, and that is that he's offering a free coaching session. Go to coachwithtrevor.com. That's coachwithtrevor.com. Highly recommend him. I've worked with him before. I'm currently working with him right now as my business, as my real estate investing coach. Highly recommend you do the same. Take him up on his offer. Get a free coaching session. coachwithtrevor.com. Best ever listeners, hi, how's it going? Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless, and this is the show where we cut out all that fluffy stuff. We get straight to the best real estate advice that moves your business forward. We've spoken to Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank, Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad Poor Dad, and many other best ever guests. And in fact, we've spoken to today's best ever guest previously in episode 475. How you doing, Nathan Brooks?
I am great, Joe. How are you today, man?
I am doing very well, and thanks for being back on the show. And because it's Saturday, we're doing a special segment today, best ever listeners. It is, as I'm sure you're aware, as a little best ever listener, Situation Saturday, where we put Nathan in a situation that is a sticky situation. And it's a situation that he's been in before, and he's going to talk about the how to solve it, how he came out of that situation successfully. So today's situation is that it's really simple. You've made a lot of mistakes on a single family purchase. What do you do? And Nathan has a specific story that he's going to tell us about this the situation house that he bought. That was there were many different things that he came across. Before we do that though, Nathan, can you give the best ever listeners a little bit about your background? That way we've got some context and then we'll get into it.
Sure, absolutely. Well, first, thank you again for having me on, and really enjoyed chatting with you, and I love your show. I am a real estate investor and have been for about 10 years. We're actively buying and holding, flipping. We have a wholesale wing to our business. We have full property management and construction in-house. We're looking to do about 100 deals this year and getting into some syndication deals like what you do. And so we work with both properties of our own internally, and we work with external clients from all over the country.
All right, perfect overview, and now let's get into it. You've made a lot of mistakes on one purchase, so this is the situation. You've made a lot of mistakes on this one house. What do you do to right the ship? Now, can you tell us a story?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was one of the first houses I ever purchased, and I had gotten it from off market deal, so I didn't have a realtor helping me. Not that you need to have that, but you know, someone guiding me, whether it was a licensed realtor or otherwise. So I kind of got into the deal, fell in my lap. I put it under contract. I decided against doing an inspection because I'd walked the house and I felt comfortable with it, which I do all the time now. But at the time, then I it was just absolutely insanely bad decision. And so I show up the day of closing and the tenant who's supposed to be there paying Section 8 is moving out, which is awesome. And then so I go in there and the place is a wreck after they've moved out and discover, some of the problems. There's some mold in the basement and some other issues that somehow I don't even know how I missed. So get this thing, made ready. I do it myself. I'm out there, slinging paint and doing everything myself, and put up for the for rent sign and get a bunch of Section 8 calls, which I'd never dealt with before either. So I finally get a tenant, and they're 2 days or 3 days from moving in, and I show up on the property to check something, and somebody's kicked in the back door of the house, and they cut out all the copper in the basement. They cut out the A coil. They cut out the hot water tank and had it sitting on its side. They left clothes and peed in the basement to, as if that wasn't bad enough. And of course, the worst thing being, they actually left the gas on in the house, so they didn't shut it off. And so when I got there, I, obviously smelled this insane smell. Discovered downstairs that there was just gas just rushing in the basement. So, which clearly, is a ticking time bomb. And thank goodness I wasn't a smoker or, a spark from a electrical outlet. I mean, it was a bad deal. But called 911 and two fire trucks and a battalion chief later in 4 hours, and those, giant fans the size of a human being in my house. I mean, it was a mess.
Wow. What's that bill look like?
It was thousands of dollars. So, and obviously, so there's a couple problems then. The fire department, they didn't, there's no charge on that. But obviously you have to then call the tenant and say, guess what? I can't move you in. And it's not just anybody. It's now a Section 8 tenant. So then you have to go back to the caseworker and you have to set the time. Then they have to reinspect the property. And, not to mention then you have copper torn in and out of doorways and rooms and ceilings and a furnace that, or a, AC that doesn't have an A coil anymore. And it was a nightmare in many ways.
Wow. Well, and one thing that it reminded me of, you said somebody kicked in the back door. My brother has a company called Door Devil. And it's a reinforcement that you put inside the door frame. That way people aren't able to kick down your door.
That's an amazing idea.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, needless to say, there's a number of things that we do not do these days. So,
yeah. So let's talk about what you would do differently. And, from what you did on this deal, everything just opposite. Should we just say I do the opposite?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where do we start, Joe? Where do we start? So let me kind of think through this. Well, first of all, people, please do an inspection on your house or have somebody that walks it that knows. There was just such a level of non-sophistication in this scenario. So a lot of things could be fixed with just having somebody that knew what the heck they were doing. And
why didn't you get the inspection?
stupid, proud, cheap. I don't know. It was just a bad choice.
Were you in a rush too?
Probably. I think it was kind of with the excitement of the chase, but not really having any idea what you're doing on the back end of it. You know, I've always been a person that would jump in, but, you know, I've also learned now how important that mentor relationship is in your life. And so you can jump in, which is awesome, but jump in with some people that actually know what they're doing.
Right. Okay. So do an inspection on the house, yep. Number one. Yep. What else would you do yep. differently?
You know, and then I think just from the way we make ready and rehab properties now, it's just a whole different level. We make sure that everything is nice. We make sure, you know, starting from the mechanicals and the roof and foundation issues, clearly mold, any of that kind of stuff. We'll buy any house as long as the numbers work and we can make the deal work. But, you know, understanding all those parts and pieces of that house and then being able to say, okay, well, roof check, you know, HVAC check. Yeah. What is it going to take me to finish these hardwood floors? What is it going to take me to update this kitchen? And then all the little hidden killers, like, you know, old, you know, galvanized plumbing or, sewer lines that haven't been, you know, cleaned out or, you know, whatever that might be.
When you think back to the numbers, can you remember what they were as far as what you purchased it for, how much money did you have to put into it, and then what happened to it afterwards, if you sold it or if you still have it?
You know, I'm trying to remember. I want to say that I bought it for around 50. So I'm 99% sure even back in the day I overpaid for it. I'm sure that I probably put 8 or 10 grand into it by the time I had replaced all that stuff and then the plumbing issues and then gone back and done it. And I do not own it anymore. It was kind of one of those nice to be done with deals.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we just do them so differently. And frankly, I like the restart sometimes where it's better to just say, let's do it again and do it better this time and cut your losses and move on.
How much did you sell it for?
We'll just say I did not make my money back.
Okay. you don't want to share how much you sold it for?
I honestly can't remember exactly. I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah, I don't remember. It was honestly in the turn of all the other things, and not particularly good part of when, you know, we were going through, trying to liquidate some properties, kind of really the first several I'd purchased that was really kind of in this same vein. And so it just, I tried to get rid of them as quickly as possible and then redo and do better. So
with the inspection, because most of this ties back to the inspection. I mean, you've got basically, whenever I look at this story, it's the inspection and then it's also the break-in that really, hurts you. So with the inspection, how do you approach the inspection now? Do you just simply hire somebody that you've always hired and they give you a report, or do you have a different system?
This is the perfect question. So I do a couple things. So on deals that I'm personally buying, we have a couple checks and balances. So I don't always hire an inspector anymore, but you know, for dozens and dozens and dozens of deals, I would go walk it with the inspector. And instead of just standing there saying, give me the report, I said, tell me what you're looking at. Tell me why this crack is important. Tell me why this, you know, plumbing, you know, isn't right. And rather than just standing there, I wanted to learn and have the education.
Okay.
And so my inspector actually, who's done probably, you know, hundreds at this point, for us, you know, said to me, I can't remember, you know, several months back, he's like, you know, I've put you out of a job put myself out of a job,
by teaching.
Yeah. Which was a wonderful compliment. But I still call him on stuff where I don't know. So if it's the normal, you know, day-to-day stuff that I see every day, I am perfectly comfortable and do, you know, often buy properties that don't have an inspection anymore. But it's because I've seen hundreds of them now. And if there's even just a faint gut visceral reaction that I'm not sure, I'm calling my guys. So I'm calling a foundation guy, I'm calling a plumber, I'm calling him, you know, my inspector. So it's just, it makes 100% sense to have the guys in place looking at it that can answer the question that should be answered.
Well, that brings up an interesting segue then. When you walk into a house and you're doing your inspection, your own inspection, mm-hmm. you don't have your inspector that you've used previously, but you're taking on the responsibility. Tell us, what do you look at? Like, how do we approach this?
That's a perfect question too. So I roll up to the house. I either park in the drive or, you know, park up front. And the first thing I do is I'm trying to captivate and understand what's happening in the neighborhood, right? So is it the world's crappiest street and an ugly duckling, you know, along with it? Or is it awesome street, you know, crappy house, or maybe it's a great house in a great neighborhood and just needs some, you know, paint and carpet or whatever. So pull up to the house, get, you know, you have a sense of the neighborhood. And then, you know, and as you go too, you know, there are a lot of times where there's houses on, you know, blocks apart from other houses that I own or have done for other clients. And so, you know, you start to get a feel for what the vibe is for that neighborhood and that area, which is obviously a benefit. But, you know, I typically will pull out my phone. I'm an Evernote junkie. I pull out my phone. I pull up a new note in Evernote, and I take a outside picture. And that way, the first picture in the Evernote line within my, you know, notes is that house. And Evernote also will take and actually select an address based on where your location is. And it might be a couple numbers off sometimes, but at least, you know, if that way you can remember which house you looked at or whatever it is. So I walk the house, walk around the outside. I look at, you know, the siding. How is it, you know, holding up? If it's siding, or, you know, does it need paint? What is it made out of? I look at the gutters. I look if there's wood rot and is there water coming down. You know, if the gutters are in bad shape and it's been vacant for a while, you could have some foundation problems or, you know, hydrostatic pressure issues down the basement or crawl space. You know, look at the roof. And so I just walk the house. I take pictures on all sides so I just remember. And then I walk in the house. And then I do the same thing. So I walk from door to door, the normal, you know, kind of, and you walk in a house and you kind of let the house show you your way. So if it walks.
Interesting.
Go ahead.
I said, that's interesting how you go with the flow of the house versus go through different rooms.
Yeah. I like the house to kind of show me, because that way from the beginning, I'm thinking about it, whatever that end buyer or renter or partner or client or whoever, I can really say, this is the feel for the house. And so not only am I getting the feel side of it, but I'm getting the data side.
And when you're doing the inside of the house, what are the things that you're looking for?
So I do the same thing. So walk in and, you know, living room, one of the first things I want to know is what, you know, there might be carpet on the floor, but what is the underneath? So is it hardwood? Is it subfloor? What is it? And then, you know, what is the overall condition? Is it older? Does it have, you know, white trim? Does it have wood trim? Is there jacked up trim? You know, and then the next room might be the living room, you know, living room to dining room or dining kitchen or whatever. So then I look at the cabinets and what is their condition and what would I do with them? Am I tearing them out? Am I painting them? Am I doing new, you know, fronts? What does the plumbing look like? Is it, you know, and then I'll take a picture like underneath the kitchen sink. So are there shutoffs and was there evidence of water issues or something like that? I'll, you know, walk the house. I'll look for the, you know, if the hot water heater, how old is it? Take a picture of it. What is that HVAC look like? How old is it? And then, you know, the panel, the electrical panel, and does it need to be updated? How many amps is it? So a lot of the biggie, and then of course, if it's a foundation, you know, look at the foundation. Are there walls that are have cracks? And just kind of really getting visual cues from all the things. You know, it's reasonably easy to estimate paint and carpet and those kind of things, but it's the ones that you don't see that kill you, like, you know, a galvanized plumbing issue where there's 100 different, you know, joints that have been soldered in and out or whatever with copper or PEX or, you know, PVC or whatever that is. So, and then obviously bathrooms too, bathrooms and kitchens, lots of dollars can be, you know, can go away pretty quick. So what's the subfloor? Is it in good shape? You know, am I going to do tile or vinyl or, you know, hardwoods? And, you know, In almost every bathroom, we tear out everything. We put new manifold in. We put, you know, all new plumbing just so that we know it's right. I'm not getting back into that wall. We create access panels just in case for any, you know, issues that might be if that's, you know, something we can do. And just try to front load everything that it's going to be really nice. One, we're going to maximize our ARV, the value of the house. We're going to rent it or sell it as fast as anything, you know, else on the market. And we have, you know, we get tenants quickly because of these, the way we rehab. And, you know, we just make sure that we've really done not only the pretty stuff, but all of the nuts and bolts stuff too.
Nathan, is there anything else that we haven't talked about as it relates to today's situation Saturday of buying a property and making some mistakes on it that you want to mention?
You know, I think that the thing about it is people will make mistakes, and there are also, you know, deals where you're going to get into and you will have had the inspector and you'll have had all of the, you know, done all the things in place that you should. And the fact of the matter is there's just going to be some deals you don't catch everything because you can't see it. Or, you know, perfect example, we just did a house. We got a great deal, bought it. It's going to be a buy and hold. Plan to just put new vinyl down or new tile down in the bathroom. We'll come to find out the whole subfloor literally is just totally rotted through. And instead of having a half a day of, you know, cleaning it up and doing it, we ended up tearing the whole bathroom out because we just decided it's going to actually be faster to fix it and just do it right. And we decided to go ahead and just tear out all the plumbing in the house because that was right there. And we had a sizable enough cushion built in that within our numbers that we'd already built into that deal, we were well within our budget because we already had the floors and stuff open so we could actually access the plumbing easier and whatever that. So it actually saved us time and money on the plumbing side. And we went ahead and just, you know, put the bathroom back together so we knew it was right.
Lots of issues as long as you've got that contingency fund, right? Built into your plan.
Exactly. Must have a contingency plan.
Well, Nathan, this has been an informative conversation as always. Really grateful that you're on the show again and talking through what the sticky situation that you were in where you had this house and didn't get an inspection, and the main takeaway is to have an inspection. Then also go get a door devil for any of these other homes, because people won't be kicking down your door and stealing all the copper. And although I'm sure you got to make some new friends with the fire chief and all the firefighters, so there's positives from that.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
And then also talking about how you do the inspection process. Very, very valuable information for best ever listeners who are buying single family homes. I think the main takeaway there for me, I mean, you went through the details of how you did it. And I won't go into that, but how you learn to do that is what everybody, in my opinion, should do. And that is you walk the deal with the inspector, asking them, you know, what are you looking at? Tell me why this is important versus showing you a report. I think that's a big difference, and that will have tremendous effect in the long run when you're educating yourself along the way. And of course, best ever listeners know this because, you know, you wouldn't be listening to a podcast if you weren't continually educating yourself. So this is another way to educate yourself and to start helping to scale your company, because you're going to know more and more and be more valuable to the team and the buyers and sellers. So thanks again for being on the show, sharing your story with Best Ever Listeners, and I hope you have a best ever weekend.
Thanks, Joe. You too, man.
Did you achieve all your real estate goals in 2015? Well, if you did, congratulations. Fist bump to you. If you didn't, then go to coachwithtrevor.com. Trevor McGregor is my business coach, my real estate coach. He's also been a guest on the show, episode 320. He is offering a free coaching session for the best ever listeners. Just go to coachwithtrevor.com and it'll help you to achieve your real estate goals in 2016.